We just pray that the love that you have for each and every one of us, Lord, that we can bestow that upon all that we are influenced by. Help us, Lord. We need you. I ask, Lord, that you bless Pastor Steve as he brings a message to us this morning. And help us to live it out, Lord. It's in your Jesus, in Jesus' name we do pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. Church, I think it would also be appropriate to thank the three gentlemen up here for all of the ways. All of the ways that they give of themselves and have stepped up to help lead us on Sunday mornings. Without them, we could not do a lot of this. One of the things I learned from my dad was that it's okay to show some emotion. And before I start, one of my first pastors passed away this morning. He was my confirmation pastor, and he preached his last sermon on November 24th, and then he had a cerebral hemorrhage and passed away last night. Without him, I probably wouldn't be here. And when my dad was a school custodian, he was the pastor at our church and instrumental in my life as a semi-wayward teen. And my dad also called Pastor Don his pastor mentor and someone that he leaned on a lot when my dad decided to go into the ministry himself. And I'll always be grateful for his legacy in our life. So if Jesus had not come, none of us would be here. And if Pastor Don had not been called into ministry, I probably wouldn't be here either. So I'm really grateful. I'd like to start with a word of prayer. God, none of us stand on our own. We stand on the shoulders of those who have come before us. We are grateful for what we have received. And if the gospel had not been shared with us, none of us know where we would be. That has been your plan since the beginning, from person to person to person, from Christ's first coming till Christ comes again. And so we are grateful for your plan, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We know that many people had waited a long time for the coming of the Messiah. And today, as Ray said earlier, we highlight our final theme of Advent, which is love. We've looked at hope and peace and joy last week. We look at love. And all throughout Advent, love actually shows up. Because Advent is this anticipation, this anticipating the coming of Christ, the birth of love in our world. And we see this love poured out as Jesus is born. And we know that there's this vertical component to love, God's love for us, and developing our love for God. And I think we have a pretty good sense of that. What I want to do today is I want to talk more about the horizontal component of love. The love that we are to show for the people around us, both the people perhaps sitting next to you right now or in this room, and the people as you go forth from here in a little while. It's the shepherds that we've been looking at most intently this month, and they model this kind of love as well. It's the kind of love that Christ actually calls us to. Each week we've been watching a clip or two from the TV show The Chosen from their Christmas special, Holy Night. And so we have one more clip that I want to show today. And you've seen part of it already, a little bit of it previously, but just to set the stage, if you weren't here last week, the angels have already spoken to the shepherds, delivering the message, and this is the aftermath of that. And then what do? They go rushing off to Bethlehem today. So let's watch this scene this morning.
So beautiful.
We must tell someone.
No, we must tell everyone.
Yes, we must tell everyone.
Everyone. Yes, yes,
thank you.
We've waited for this for so long. So long.
His arm. His arm.
His arm.
His arm.
Yes, his arm.
Oh, it's okay.
Jesus. I must go. People must know. People must know.
People must know.
Pretty sure that Jesus even made squeaks and cries as well, contrary to the song that we sang a few minutes ago. People must know. When those shepherds see him, there's a whole lot of rushing around that night. Quite a bit of rushing around. They rush off to Bethlehem to see Jesus, and then they are there for a few seconds. Can you imagine going to see a new little baby and then you leave after about 5 seconds? Because people must know. You got to go out and share this news. And we've seen how they depict this scene here. Let me read a few of the verses from the story, from Luke 2, verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. People must know. And long before Jesus would later select the 12 apostles, God had chosen a small group of shepherds, people on the margin, to be the first people to tell the world that the Messiah had come, to announce the news to people. And in this way, it's this group of shepherds who are the first missionaries. They're the first evangelists of the good news. With Jesus's coming, hope and peace and joy and love had entered the world in a real and true and newly profound way. And in essence, this was God's plan in four words. He came, they went. It's that simple. He came to earth, and they went out to share the good news. Jesus came, and people through the generations since would go out to share the good news. And for those shepherds, this was an important moment for people to hear of God's love for them. God was born on earth in Jesus. But this was also a missional moment because this was a message of good news for who? All the people. But shepherds knew of God's promise to send a Messiah. And it's so interesting that based on what they already knew and now what they had seen and heard, they were prepared to go, even though they probably didn't realize or think that they would be prepared. But they had everything they needed to be able to go out and share the good news. They went first to Bethlehem, and then I'm assuming they went out further with their flocks. It probably was news that they wanted to tell people all the time going forward. And it makes me think of that moment later in Jesus' life when he met a group of fishermen and turned them into fishers of men. And here we see a group of sheep herders who are now called to shepherd the people, to spread that good news that night. Jesus had come, and so, of course, they went. Somehow they had an immediate understanding that people had to know. This could not be hidden. And this is how they would show love to others. Now this is a pattern, when you read the New Testament, this is a pattern that shows up all over the place. That Jesus' coming inspires sending or going. Luke is far from the only one to highlight this pattern. The gospel of both Mark and John actually start with an emphasis on John the Baptist, who went out all because Jesus had come. And what did John the Baptist do? He went out to baptize people in the Jordan River and calling people to repent because the Messiah was at hand. And he regularly would say, no, it's not about me, it's about him. It's about Jesus. Jesus had come, so John the Baptist went out. The Gospel of Matthew tells the story of the three wise men who saw the star. Jesus had come, and so what were they compelled to do? They went to see the news for themselves, to worship the Lord. They come to Jerusalem and they ask about the birth of the one called the King of the Jews, all because they saw his star in the sky. Jesus had come, so they went. I mean, when you think about it, that's a pretty wow moment, that this news had already spread far and wide in just a few short weeks or months. We see this pattern show up all throughout the Gospels when Jesus sends out his 12 apostles and sends out 72 disciples later on to share the good news. And all throughout the biblical accounts, the pattern is there. Jesus was there, and now people would go out and continue his work. He came, they went. lest we think this is just a pattern in the Bible, this is a pattern for you and me as well. If this pattern is set for God's people and embraced by God's people all through the Bible to go forth in the coming light of Jesus, then it is set and embraced by us as well. That means for you and me, Jesus came, and so we go. We go too. Because Jesus came, we are being sent, and we are sent in many different ways. Many of us are called right where we are. Some are called farther away. He came, and so we go. And there's generally two primary ways that we see this. We are called to go to those who are nearest to us. Sometimes they live in our homes, or we're related to them by blood. And sometimes they are people in our neighborhoods and people that we interact with on a regular basis. And let me tell you, sometimes this can be a challenge. Sometimes it's easier to go far away, and it's harder to go to the ones who are nearest to you, or to go to the folks that are down the street whose dog barks really loudly early in the morning or plays his music at 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning. But this is what the shepherds model for us. They immediately go out to the people that are right where they are in that town, and they just don't care. They're just going to go share this news because people must know. This is often the first part of the going pattern that we see all throughout the New Testament, starting with those who are near. I know some of you are praying especially for those who are nearest to you. When we start with those who are near, it often makes a bigger difference because it could be people that we have a natural affinity with or who even trust us to some degree, and we start showing and sharing what difference Christ has made in our life. That I'm actually different because Jesus got a hold of my heart. And people can actually see that difference. And Jesus regularly did this. He would send his people out to Jerusalem and to their hometowns and villages. And later on, Luke actually records Jesus' words in Acts 1:8, that the disciples are called to start the mission in Jerusalem and then to Judea and Samaria. So kind of starting small and then getting a little bit bigger. Why does Luke share this? Well, not just because it's a direct command from Jesus himself, but it was also how his disciples would live out and follow the command to love your neighbor as yourself. Neighbor most literally means those or the ones nearest you. When we go in love with the good news of Jesus, often those are who we go to first. And this has always been the call of disciples of Christ. So this Christmas for you, who are those who are nearest to you? And we know that as we even look around in our town, think of Pittsburgh or Antioch or this East Bay area, we see people right where we are. We see the community spirit often that we see many people in Pittsburgh have, but we also see people who are struggling, people who are without shelter and battling substance abuse and making or struggling to make ends meet. Or people like we talked about last week who are silently experiencing despair and discouragement. Those are some of the people that we are called to go to. What would it look like for you to go out in love with the good news of Christ this season? As St. Augustine said, or is reported to have said, preach the gospel always. If necessary, use words. I think more people could probably get behind that because sometimes we're not quite sure what to say in the moment. So how we live is just as important as what we say. It's a both and, not an either or. And maybe for you it begins by inviting someone to a Christmas gathering or even to our service this afternoon. By the way, our service starts at 4:30, but Rebecca's going to start playing some piano music, like what, 4:15? So if you want to come a little bit early and sit quietly, you can hear some good piano music as well. For each of us, there is someone in our life, someone who is nearest to us, who needs to know that Jesus Christ has come, that Jesus Christ came for their sake. And maybe you have to start with prayer. I know some of you already are. Pray that Jesus' arrival would lead to a decision or a turning point in a life where someone can see and then respond to the hope and peace and joy and love that Jesus offers freely. But it's always up to us to actually reach out and take his hand. He came, so we often go first to the ones who are nearest us. But we know that that's only half of it, or maybe two-thirds of it. We are also called to go to those who are farthest from us. And the good news we know is not only for people in our homes or right outside our front doors, but also for all the people, as the word says, living throughout the world. And this is also a regular part of the pattern that we see all throughout the New Testament. It often starts with those who are closest or nearest, and then it always goes further out. Jesus sent his disciples first into their hometowns and villages, and then he sent them out, almost like a spiraling out into the rest of the world. We see this in some of the verses, specifically the great commissioning verse in Matthew 28. It was one of the verses we shared at the baptism last week. Matthew 28, 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Or Acts 1, 8. Go to the ends of the earth. It's one reason that Luke shared this pattern at the very beginning of Acts. The whole book of Acts is all about going out, sending, doing things, not just holding on to it and staying where you are. It's a mission that began in Jerusalem and now is throughout the entire earth. That's the ongoing both-and mission for all disciples of Christ. We go in love to those who are around us, and then we seek to move outward. And while you may not personally be able to go to the ends of the earth right now, this is why we support those who are able. And we take that seriously as a church. Not just our church, but many churches. Supporting people like we do directly. We join with them as partners in God's global mission to spread the good news. We take his call seriously when Jesus said, "Be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." So we send people, we support them, we pray with them, and we walk with them on this journey together. Friends, it's a simple yet profound pattern of mission and ministry. He came, so we go. It's our calling and our ongoing challenge as Jesus' disciples to be my witnesses. What difference has Christ made in your life? I want to close with one final scene. It's only about 40 seconds, but it might be the most important little clip in the entire Christmas special of that show. The most important one as we conclude this series and are sent back out into the world. I like this clip because, yes, it's short, but it's also a picture of what it can look like when we go, reflecting the energy and enthusiasm that the coming of Jesus Christ brings. So let's watch this clip now.
A son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore.
Just like the shepherds, They go out and they tell people right away. By the way, there's a lot of activity in the middle of the night for a town like that. Clearly, they don't go to bed early in this town. And just like the song we're going to sing in a moment declares, because Jesus came, now we must go. So go tell it on the mountain and everywhere. Yes, all because Christ has come, you too are empowered to go. You are enabled. Christ has enabled you and entrusted to you the good news, the message that is great joy for all the people. Entrusted to you and you and you and you. It's a message given for all of us. And so this Christmas, I pray that God will renew your hope, will increase your peace, will restore your joy, and even resurrect your love in every way. Church, may God bless you this Christmas and always as you go. Amen and amen. Just a moment. Let's pray. God, I thank you for sending your Son to earth to live as one of us and to pay the price with his own life, all so that we might have life eternal with you. Thank you for that gift. God, I pray that you will continue to give us a spirit of boldness, that just as you came, so now you are sending us out into the world where we live a majority of our life. May our lives reflect your light and love in this world. God, we pray for those who are nearest and farthest, that your Spirit would get a hold of people this very moment and this very season, and that many would come to know you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And now, as we prepare to go, may God fill you with joy and peace. Live by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen and amen. Church, have a wonderful Christmas. If I don't see you, then Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.